We'll go in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll start there, 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll end up in Ephesians chapter 6 in a minute. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, we're talking this morning about the author of confusion, Satan, the devil. And the good news is he's a created being, and one day God's going to throw him in the lake of fire. Satan is not equal to God. It is not like the cartoons make it sound, where it's a tug of war between God and Satan, and they're equal power. That's not true. Lucifer was created, and he will one day be destroyed and thrown in the lake of fire. The book of Job shows us that Satan has to get permission from God before he can touch God's people. And so when something happens, you have to realize God allowed it. And God had a bigger purpose behind what's going on than just the attack of the devil, all right? And so God has a bigger purpose that he's going to accomplish. We saw how that Satan cast doubt on God's word. And he is the master at questioning the word of God and casting doubt on the word of God. And today there's just a huge attack on the Bible. And I'm not just saying that because I like to talk about a hobby horse. It's so true. And he cast doubt on God's word. And these kids that are growing up in churches where they don't have a solid understanding of the Bible, they go to college and they hear all these science professors and whatever, history or whatever professors talking about whatever, and they decide that maybe they don't really know what they know. And they don't, because no Bible is going to be able to stand. It's like a wax sword, having a wax sword. And so Satan uses these perversions of the word of God to cast doubt on his word. And we talked about how in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that he also disguises himself as an angel of light and a minister of righteousness, and yet he's still Satan. And you should know by now that not everything called Christian is Christian. And Satan does not play fair. He does not wear his normal garb, his normal makeup, his real identity. No, he has always a hidden identity, and he's always hiding behind a fake facade, and that's who he is. And he disguises himself as an angel of light, as a minister of righteousness, the Bible says, and yet he is still Satan. So understand that. So in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 18, it says, verse 5, 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I was reading just briefly about a historical event in the continent of Africa when they were trying to build a road through Africa. There were two lions that would attack the engineers every night and the workers every night. They lost 130 men with these two lions before they finally killed them. Can you imagine being attacked at night by these huge lions out there? The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He is a roaring lion. He hates you, and he doesn't play fair. He waits till dark, and he snatches you in the dark when you can't see him and when you're not as clear and things are confusing. He's the author of confusion, and he uses all that to his advantage. And you better be sober, and you better be vigilant, and you better not assume that he goes to bed when you go to bed and he takes a vacation when you do, because he doesn't. The devil doesn't take vacations, and he doesn't rest. Someone said that Satan is the best soul winner in the world. It's just that he's taken them to the wrong place. And so he is a roaring lion, and he hates people in general, and he hates God's people specifically. Look what it says over in Revelation chapter number 12. Revelation chapter 12, he hates all people, but he especially hates the Christian. In Revelation chapter 12, in verse 10, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of God, our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser. The accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Satan accuses us. He stands before God and tries to accuse us and to call us whatever and to make accusation. And he would be correct, except for one thing. We are, as Treg was saying, we are made perfect in Christ. and we are forgiven, and all that is behind, all that is taken care of and paid for. And so the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Why? Verse 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives to the death. Then he might be able to take lives physically on the earth, but he cannot destroy the soul once it's saved. He cannot take you to hell once you're born again. Praise God for that. We need to also recognize James chapter number 4, something else. He needs to be resisted. We need to learn to fight and stand up against the devil. James chapter 4 and verse number 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. We need to resist the devil. Now, there are some silly songs that sometimes people will sing, maybe in junior church or on the, you know, on a bus or a van or something like that. And down by the river, I took a little walk. I met up with the devil. We had a little talk. I pushed him in the river and I hung him out. Listen, that's not the devil. The devil's not a pushover. The devil's a roaring lion, all right? And understand, you can't just mess with the devil like you think you can, all right? God can, but you and I, we're very vulnerable to Satan. We need to take him with some respect. I don't mean respect who he is, but we need to respect his power and his ability and understand that we need to resist him the right way. It says over in Jude verse 9 that Michael the archangel simply said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Michael the archangel was a good angel, and he was right, but he just said, "The Lord rebuke you." In other words, Satan, you're wrong because God is right. We need to recognize that we need to fight Satan in the right way, being submissive to God. It says in verse number 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. And so submitting to God, first of all, then it says in verse 8, draw nigh to God. You got to get close to God. The closer you are to the shepherd, the less likely the lion's going to get to you. How about that? All right? And so to be close to him and learn to resist the devil by getting close to the Lord and getting clean hands and a pure heart in verse 8, and to draw nigh to God and be right with God and be aware that just because we're saved doesn't mean Satan can't touch us. He can. Satan can attack and he can do all kinds of things. He can't take us to hell, but he could get our children and our grandchildren. How about that? I mean, there are people who are saved and they're good people, but that doesn't mean their grandchildren are saved. We need to recognize all the things that Satan wants to do and wants to destroy. He wants to destroy our testimony. Ask King David if Satan is real. There's a couple times in King David's life where Satan just got a hold of him. Didn't destroy his soul, but Satan messed up with David enough to ruin some valuable reputation and testimony and his family and his kingdom and things like that. Let's just understand Satan's an enemy that needs to be feared. About the time you start to think you can handle him, you're going to be in big trouble. You understand that? I hope you understand. I hope you have a good understanding and fear of who Satan is, all right? But now we go to Ephesians chapter number 6, and the young people were singing that song this morning, "Be Strong in the Lord," and Chase had on the armor, and Caleb was reading the verses. But Ephesians chapter number 6, it says in verse number 11, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. God expects us to stand, by the way. But put on the whole armor of God. Every piece is important. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know that? We're not wrestling against people. This isn't a people fight. And that's one way that he defeats us, by getting us to just focus on people, you know, and to think that we're fighting each other, we're fighting another human being. We're wrestling against flesh and blood. He is the author of confusion. Oh yeah, I do believe that some conspiracy theories are true, and there are some wicked people in this world and powerful people doing stuff. I do believe that there are some wicked atheist professors in college and high school that teach things they shouldn't teach. I do believe all those, and I'm, of course, I'm opposed to those people, but you know what? It's really the devil. All right? It's really, that's who we're not just fighting. That's why politics and passing laws doesn't fix it. Because you can't pass a law to keep the devil away. He won't follow the law. So we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. What are we wrestling against? Principalities? I mean, that's princes in the air, in the world we can't see. Against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's who we're wrestling against. That's who we're fighting against. How many of you are good at that? Right? I mean, I can't even see my enemy, right? Can't even see. I mean, so we need armor. We need protection. And we need to do what God would have us do. Continue in the Word of God. That's what we got to do, like we were saying this morning. When it's confusing, just keep doing what you know to do. Now, verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We need to stand. And we need to stand understanding that God will get the glory, and God will deliver, and God will provide, and we just need to trust Him. I told you a little bit earlier all the different hands that were raised at the nursing home today and the salvation decisions that I think some of them made, okay? And praise the Lord for that. But you know what? By faith, I have to realize that that's what God wants me to do. I want to just serve, let God use me in that way. Now, let's just stop and think about it. None of those people are going to come to church next Sunday. Are you bummed about that? I'm not. But you know what I'm saying? Sometimes we minister for self-motive. Who will come sit in church next week? That's not what it's about, is it? Aren't you glad for whoever the Baptist preacher was that went to the jail 6 or 7 years ago, talked to Treg? I don't know for sure who it was, but I'm glad somebody got the ball started and got him thinking. Hey, you know what? We have to realize that God will take care of, you know, God. I mean, if you're a Christian, the award ceremony is not in this world. So just stand and do right and stand for what's right and stand for truth. I was preaching this morning. We had young people here, and I was talking about the author of confusion and and evolution and what that's doing to our young people. I talked about homosexuality, how that's becoming the political correctness, okay? If Pastor Matt doesn't tell those kids and tell everybody else in this church what's wrong, who else is going to? Nobody else is going to. They're not going to get it at school. They're not going to get it at home because we know most of them, their parents don't know enough to say anything. Even people who believe the Bible don't know necessarily how to articulate. And I'll just be frank, someone just yesterday was telling me, well, I know someone that's a homosexual and they're very nice. I'm sure they are, but they're still wrong, okay? So how do you fight that? Do you fight flesh and blood? No. You go to the Word of God and you recognize it's a spiritual battle. And we got to recognize we're in a battle with Satan and spiritual wickedness in high places. And sometimes that high places infiltrates our political system, and we see the corruption that's in there, and we know that. Without getting off on a rabbit trail, you look at some of the politicians and leaders around the world, and you just wonder, what are they possessed with? You know what I mean? And I don't mean to say that to try to be funny, but There's demons in this world. If you read the book of Daniel, there were principalities behind the kings. And they were praying. Daniel was praying for 3 weeks and fasting, and the king of Persia, the prince of Persia, the principality of Persia said, I've been doing battle for 3 weeks with this spirit battle, this spirit being. This is a real warfare that goes on. And I wonder sometimes about stuff that happens sometimes to my family, like this crashed up vehicle out here. That's the weirdest story ever, all right? God's in charge of it, though. I'm not worried about it. But sometimes you just have to scratch your head and wonder. And so, just to warn you, I got an article coming out in the paper called Is Homosexuality Okay? Not ugly, not calling names, just what does the Bible say? Well, I just think that's, look, I ain't doing it to try to win friends or run friends. I'm doing it because nobody else is going to. Nobody else is going to stand. Nobody else is going to say anything. And we need to stand for what's right. Now, that's not the only issue we need to stand on. But we need to stand for what's right. And we need to recognize that for every 100 people out there that might not like your stand, if there's a God-fearing Christian out there that's looking for truth, they're going to say, man, I want to stand with that guy. But whether anybody else walks into the doors of this church or not, I know that God used today's nursing home ministry to win some people the Lord. Some people raise their hand. You know some of their names. They'll never come to this church. Their families would never let them come to this church. But God reached out and touched their heart with the gospel today. It's worth it to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand. And what's going to happen is, one day, you and I are going to finally get into heaven. We're going to walk into heaven, and we're going to peel off some of that suit of armor, wipe our sweaty brow, and then they're going to say, hey, get in line for the awards. Right? I mean, that's the finish line. It's not here and now. It's up there. So here are the pieces of armor. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Having your loins girt about with truth. Bible says in Psalm 51:6, David said, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. The idea of integrity, of being true from through and through, from the guts out. You know what I mean? You're just true. When you're in a fight with Satan, there's got to be integrity. There's got to be truth. You can't be truth just on the outside. It's got to be through and through. And so your loins, which is a very tender and delicate spot of your body, has to be girded with truth so that you are full of integrity and strength. Bible says in a couple places, we'll go to John chapter 17. As we go to John chapter 17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John chapter 8, he said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John chapter 16 and verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God help us to know what is the truth and to stick with the truth. One thing I can tell you about this article I've written is this. Homosexuality, and I don't mean to get off on this subject tonight, but homosexuality is a lie from the beginning clear to the end. Do you think about it? From the very beginning, you are caught up in a lie that God didn't create you, or that God made you somehow different compared to everybody else when Jesus clearly said male or female, okay? It's just a lie. You have to lie to yourself to be a homo. You know that? You got to lie to yourself. Someone else has to lie to you and convince you that. There's a 7-year-old boy in the state of Texas whose mother has been telling him for the last 4 or 5 years that he's a girl. She's been lying to him for years. Boy's so confused. Author of confusion. That's who Satan is. And it starts with lies. And then after you've convinced yourself that you are what you aren't, then you've got to lie to everybody else. Right? So it's just one great big lie. You got to have your loins girt about with truth. And when we start living half-truths as parents, and we start living half-truths as individuals, and we have a lack of integrity, it's going to come back to haunt us. We have to be filled with integrity. Our loins have to be girt about with truth. First John chapter 2, verse 27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. We have to be full of truth. And we're telling half stories, and we're living a lie, and we're not honest with ourselves. Listen to me. If you're going about your daily routine and you see someone who's a Christian and it scares you, what's wrong? Why would that be? You know? What's the problem? What's going on in your life? The preacher at the youth conference a couple weeks from now, he just wrote an article about airports. His main focus is on purity, and you know, airplanes and airports, that can be a place of temptation. Why? Because you're out of your normal element. You're in a city that isn't your normal city. I mean, an airport's a city. And you're sitting next to strangers. And I heard one preacher say, it's just a good rule of thumb. He said, I always do it. I do a lot of traveling. I sit on an airplane. Sometimes I sit next to a lady. Sometimes she's an attractive lady. And so the first thing I do, because I should do it anyway, the first thing I do is pull out a tract and say, here, I'm a Christian. I'd like to just share this with you. Boy, that just kind of deflates anything, right? But there's a lack of integrity with some of us in the privacy of our own homes. And now we got this phone thing that we can just carry stuff everywhere. I was hearing about one preacher. He said he was at an airport and he was in the bookstore, you know, a little gift shop area, and there's these magazines, and some of them are not very good at all, and there was just a temptation there to look at this magazine. I mean, just a strong draw, okay? And all of a sudden, a hand hit his shoulder. Hey, brother so-and-so, good to see ya. Whoa. And he said it was just a reminder. And God sent that person at just the right time. Listen, we got to be honest with ourselves. I mean, because that's what the loin, I mean, that's that belt guards the sensitive soft spot. And we got to be, I mean, oh yeah, look at these biceps. Who cares about the biceps if you got a weak spot down here? You got to have the belt of truth. You got to be filled with integrity. And so if we're not honest, wow, what a mockery. Listen to me. I wrote about homosexuality because it's a violation against God's will for marriage. But let's be honest about something. How many Christians have violated other parts of marriage? Right? And so we have to be people of integrity, and we have to be honest about ourselves. How many Christians might point their finger and say, homos are bad, but then they're gossips, you know what I mean? And they're just slanderers, and they're drunks, or they're whatever it might be. Look, we got to be careful that we're not filled with hypocrisy. Our loins have to be girt about with truth. And then the breastplate, verse 14, Ephesians 6, 14, the breastplate of righteousness. That's what when I was talking today to that young father, and he said, I realize I'm not going to heaven unless I'm perfect. I'm thinking, you're not going to tell me that you're perfect now, are you? You're not going to. I was just trying to figure out where he's going with this. And you know where he went with it? Exactly where he's supposed to go with it. He said, I'm perfect because of Jesus. He said, I'm not perfect. But I have a perfect, clean, forgiven record. And that's what the Bible says. Romans 10, they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of Christ. Philippians chapter number 3, just a few pages over from Ephesians. Philippians 3, verse 8, Paul said this, yea, doubtless, and I count all these things but loss. And if you were to read above verse 8, it's all the list of how good of a Pharisee he was. I count all these things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I'm walking around with my breastplate of righteousness. But you know whose righteousness it is? It's Jesus' righteousness, not mine. And Satan can't pierce that because it's solid. Back in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Yesterday, we spent an hour talking to a parent of a child who comes to our church. That child was sick today, so they didn't come. But we talked for over an hour talking with that parent. And most importantly, I think we have to remember that there's a peace that passes all understanding. there's a understanding and there's a confidence. And yeah, I've got a shield of faith and I've got an armor and I've got all this weaponry, but I come to you in peace sharing you the gospel. And my article that I've written about, it ends with, we got to go to Jesus. Not some other Jesus, but we got to go. Jesus is the only way. We can't, it's not about us changing God, it's about God changing us. And the peace of God that passes all understanding. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 10 and verse 15, quoting from Isaiah, Romans 10, 15, and how shall they hear, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Kind of like sometimes the soldiers in our day. They are fighting off enemies, and yet they're also bringing peace. Okay? And they're bringing good news to some people, and they're bringing bad news to the enemy. Our armor is for the enemy, but the peace, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, is for the hostage, is for those who are being who are captive by Satan right now. Do you know that? There's people captive. There's a prayer that's been on my heart lately. It goes like this: Lord, please make us a place where those people who are in Satan's grip can come and get rescued. Make us a place and a people where people know there's peace there, and there's peace to be found there. And I want to go and learn, and I want to hear. And it doesn't matter what my background is. I'm loved, and I'm encouraged, and that's what it's all about, isn't it? So our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. See, this whole battle thing is to rescue people and to fight off Satan, but to rescue people at the same time. Then verse 16 of Ephesians 6, 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is the faith chapter. Here's what it says. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. By faith Abel did what he did. By faith Enoch did what he did. By faith Noah did what he did. By faith Abraham. By faith. And verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There's fiery darts flying. Can I tell you something? There's been times where I didn't have my shield of faith up, and I got stuck with one. Burns, hurts, offends. Anybody else ever get hit with a fiery dart? Get your shield up. You get tired. Get your shield up. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Quench all the fiery darts. Sometimes it seems like he's just lobbing them from everywhere, right? But by faith, we trust that God is still in charge. Miss Wilma was teaching about the armor on Wednesdays. The kids sang about it this morning. The whole armor of God includes that shield of faith. I don't understand what all's going on all the time and why things happen all the time. I don't understand. Just like you, I don't know what's going on all the time. All I know is fiery darts flying in from everywhere. Shield of faith. I'll be perfectly honest with you today. I went to the nursing home this afternoon not really knowing what I was going to say or do. But it just seemed like as we sang and as I looked at the crowd, I just felt like this is what we need to talk about. And you know what? God bless that. And I walked out of there holding my shield a little higher than I had when I walked. I kind of was dragging it in when I walked in. Anybody ever drag your shield around? Oh, come on, shield. No, that shield's for your protection. Don't drag it around. Carry it. Start singing. I don't know. It might have been I was looking at the faces of some elderly people who were genuinely saved, and you could tell it by the way they were singing. And I don't know if maybe that's what it was, but something just got me thinking, man, this is real, you know? Sometimes we drag our faith shield around and it doesn't do us any good. You need to hold it. And then it says back in Ephesians chapter 6, in verse number 17, and take the helmet of salvation. Paul said, I read Philippians 3, 8 and 9. Verse 10 says, that I may know him. And 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 says, I am persuaded. I'm going to just quote it to you so I don't get it wrong. For the which cause also I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Look at verse 12 with me in 2 Timothy 1:12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Let me ask you a question. Do you know who you believed? Can anybody convince you you're not saved? Can anybody convince you that God isn't going to keep his promises? Or do you know? And what verses do you go to say, I know? I know whom I have believed, the helmet of salvation, my head. Satan is not going to get me and convince me that he is right and God is wrong. Satan is not going to win. The helmet of salvation. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. There was an elderly saint of God. I don't remember who it was. I don't know if it was John Newton, but it was somebody. Elderly saint that was dying, and their memory was fading. And they would quote this verse, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And he would quote it over and over again, and he would start to lose his memory. He couldn't remember things. He couldn't remember all the different names of people. But he would quote that verse until the very end. He started losing parts of the verse. To the last, they could just barely hear him mumble these words in just a bare whisper. And he was able to say one word out of the verse. You know what it was? Him. I sent that to my dad. The helmet of salvation. I know who I believe. And I don't care what you show me on TV. And I don't care what statistics say. And I don't care what scientists discover tomorrow. And I don't care what archaeologists dig up over in the Middle East. I know what the Bible says, and I believe it. The helmet of salvation. And then it says in Ephesians 6, verse 17, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. The Word, our sword. It's the only offensive weapon in the whole thing. It doesn't say anything about Christian lawyers or politicians that are going to lobby for us. It doesn't say anything about any kind of other offensive weapon. We don't have any offensive weapon at all except for the Word of God, the Bible itself. We got to know the Bible and use it and stand behind it. You know why a lot of these other Christian leaders are not going to be able to stand up against issues like homosexuality? Because they don't even know which weapon to use. You understand? They got a wax sword. They need to understand that the only thing that's going to do them any good is to fight with a true sword. And we've got it. And yeah, I know the Jehovah's Witnesses go out and they do a lot of visiting and whatnot, but they don't got the real sword. The Book of Mormon's not the real sword. And all these other perversions aren't even the real sword. But you and I have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and we need to take it and use it offensively. I said it this morning, I'll say it again. Somebody posted on Facebook recently that, stop trying to raise your kids the way you were raised. After all, they're in a different world than you were in. Sounds good, but it's not true. It's not a true. I mean, yeah, they're in a different world. There's definitely a more wicked world. But you know why it's a bad quote? Because we still got the same Bible we had when our parents were kids. This is the same Bible that George Washington had. Okay? We got the same God that Moses had and Daniel in the lion's den had. We got the same God. And that's why we don't change anything, no matter how rotten this world is. We still stand for truth. And this world needs an anchor. It needs someone that will stand for truth. And you and I have the sword, and let's not be ashamed of it, but take it and use it correctly. Not to beat someone up with, but to fight against Satan with. The sword of the Spirit. And then it says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Do you pray? It says pray without ceasing. It says praying always. Men ought always to pray and not to quit and not to faint. Prayer. Not politics, prayer. Not some mighty power of man, not money, prayer. Praying always. Constantly in an attitude of prayer and supplication. Do you remember, do you stop and remember to pray for those kids that come to Anchor Club? Hey, the teachers that teach the different kids in their class, do you pray for them individually and pray for their families and pray for their parents, pray for their siblings, pray for their needs, praying for them? Do you pray for the people that came to church today, praying for the people that weren't at church today, praying for your neighbors and praying for loved ones? There's just a lot of praying. And you know what? We just need to do it all the time. Sometimes I'll pull out of my garage, I'll turn, and I'll start down the hill, and I see this house. I can pray for that. I can pray for neighbor here and pray for neighbor there and pray all the way down the lane. I got a school bus that I drive. Every time a child gets on, I can pray for that child, right? Talk to God, praying for those individuals. Boy, I think we'd get more done if we'd pray for people. And not only that, we'd be more in tune with what they need if we'd be praying for them. One thing I enjoy about going out on Saturdays and visiting is it just seems to really clear my head. Stop and talk to people, visit with people, witness to people. It helps me to understand where they're coming from, and I'll be able to pray for them better. And pray with them on my mind, thinking about the needs that they have. I found out things yesterday I didn't know. But I know now, and I can pray better for them. And this is verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Perseverance. Resist the devil. Galatians chapter 6. Backing up a few pages. Verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Persevering. Understanding Satan is real. The Bible says back in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. That you be wise and recognize Satan is real. I mean, imagine if you were building a road in the continent of Africa and 12 guys had died. 12 guys got drug off by a lion. The next night, it's 13 or 14. The next night, it's a few more. How well would you sleep? And if you were on guard, you would probably be going, and that's exactly what circumspectly. It's a circum. It's a circumference. In other words, you're just walking in a complete surveillance circle. And let me tell you, the Bible says, "You take heed when you think you stand. Take heed lest you fall." You think, we're good now. Satan can't get to us. You just stop walking circumspectly. Happens to all of us. Happens to every one of us. And he sneaks up behind us because we start thinking, well, he's probably tired of fighting me. Bible says in chapter 4, verse 27, neither give place to the devil. You leave an open place, he'll take it. Be sober, be vigilant, Because your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion. You need to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Persevere. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't take a vacation. Keep moving forward. There's always a battle. Until he gets thrown in the lake of fire, there's always going to be a battle. And so just keep fighting and trusting and praying. I think that prayer is our time to rejuvenate and regenerate and re-energize ourselves with God. Reading the Word of God, praying and asking God for strength, resting in Him. Take the sword, take the armor, take the shield, and keep fighting. And you know what? We've already seen some answers to prayer. I was just looking at our prayer list. There's some answers to prayer in our prayer list. There's some answers to prayer. There's some answers to prayer in individuals and families in our church, in this room right now. There's some good things that have happened. There's some things that are going in the right direction. There's answers to prayer just today. There's good things. But Satan would like us to focus on a fiery dart or two that got through. Well, you know what? He's good. And we're not. Should we just let him win? No. Learn and go forward. And understand, we're on the winning side. Sometimes we feel defeated, but we're on the winning side. But we got to take that armor and fight back. And trust the Lord to show himself strong. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for your word. We thank you for opportunity to fight against Satan for the purpose of rescuing those who need to be rescued. Lord, we're in a battle against the devil, and he's only fighting those who are close to making a difference. So help us to recognize that he's not going to fight somebody who's not doing anything. He's fighting people who are doing something. So help us to realize we can't be weary in well-doing. We have to persevere. We have to re-energize through you and your prayer and your word and strengthening one another and edifying one another, encouraging one another, taking that shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And we know there are many. Help us to trust you. Help us to lean on you. Help us to learn from our mistakes and from our foolishness and lack of wisdom. Help us to go forward and fight a better battle next time. And help us to become an effective soldier. And that we'll take casualties away from Satan and take captive back those that have been captivated by him. And that you'll work in behind the scenes and you'll do a mighty work. Help us to trust you and fight back and to have that shield of faith and the taking on the sword and using the word of God, not ourselves, not our own wit and our own abilities, but your word to make the difference in the offensive. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Ask the teenagers to stay in here. The rest of you can be dismissed.